Welcome to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko, the show that brings you man-on-the-street interviews, celebrity guests, and groundbreaking research. Our show is also known as everything you've always wanted to know about dentistry, but we're too numb to ask. I'm general dentist Dr. Brian Kvitko, and thank you for joining me today.
The following views and opinions do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its staff, management, or parent company. To hear a replay of this show or one of the other great shows that previously aired, log on to dentallyspeaking.com or iTunes, keywords Dr. Kvitko or Dentally Speaking. Listeners should not use Dr. Kvitko's comments and advice in place of an actual dental exam.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Time now for Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko to discuss your dental issues. Now, here's your host, Dr. Kvitko.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. It's going to be another beautiful day. It's been a wonderful summer in my book, at least, and I know some people think it's been too warm or too much rain or whatever, but I think it's been great. And of course, we just take what we're given anyway, right? If life gives you lemons, you make lemonade or something like that. Okay, now today is the final installment of our tour of the Dr. John Harris Dental Museum in Bainbridge, Ohio. And by the way, the phone number there is 740-634-2228. And they are open on Saturday from noon to 4 and Sunday from noon to 4, Tuesday through Saturday, noon to 4 and Sundays, 1 to 4. All right, so they're actually open today. So if you like what you hear, you can maybe hop over there and check it out. Their website is BainbridgeDentalMuseum.com, and it's a really nice drive, and you'll hear a little bit about that later in the show. All right, so let me just remind people that we have two events coming up. We have Team Smile on August 8th, and we still need some help with that. That is at the Nationwide Arena with the Blue Jackets, and about 250, 300 children will receive free care that day. And also, Dentistry from the Heart on September 12th at my office, and I know we need a lot more dentists and hygienists and assistants on that day. So please call my office at 262-9588. If you have a dentist and it's not me, because I'm already volunteering, please ask them to come and volunteer. Maybe call us, give us their name, or talk to them and have them call us. We'll be happy to help out, but we really need their help. All right, so let's go ahead and listen to, like I said, the final installment of our tour of the Dr. John Harris Dental Museum in Bainbridge, Ohio. Okay, so you may remember we were doing our episodes from the Dr. John Harris Dental Museum, and Bob Richardson was so gracious to give us a personal tour. And unfortunately, we ran out of time to get it into two episodes, so here's some more of what we learned while we were down at the Dr. John Harris Dental History Museum in Bainbridge, Ohio. So tell me, Bob, what are we looking at here?
Well, what you're looking at here is truly an amazing character, an amazing man.
Dr. Levitt Ellsworth Custer.
Correct, and he was born in 1862, so, you know, he's not so far removed from Dr. John Harris. I mean,
he died in 1938, I think you said.
Dr. John Harris died in 1849.
1849, okay, so then 1849, and along comes 13 years later.
13 years, yeah, and this man graduated from the Ohio College of Dental Surgery in 1887 with honors. He was brilliant. There's no way to, if he needed something, he was brilliant in the field of electricity.
Okay.
And if he needed something, he couldn't buy it at the store. He made it. He invented it.
Wow.
And somewhere along the line, I read he had something like 100 or more
patents.
And I can't imagine this. He invented electrocentrifugal casting appliance in 1905.
So that's how they would make the crowns after his invention, rather than having to grind up the gold and press it onto something. He just cast it.
Yeah, and then he invented electric oven number 2 in 1894. This was used in making porcelain crowns and bridges and inlays and continuous gum work for porcelain dentures. I read this the other day again, and I can't imagine this man doing what he did. He's written a huge book on dental electricity, and
I don't even know what dental electricity is.
It's this whole thing you're seeing.
Oh, everything that's okay, got it. So like there, that one says he invented the first x-ray machine, and it took electricity apparently.
Yeah.
And this casting oven took electricity. So once electricity became more available, he harnessed it.
Here's a kinking machine that was made to bend wire into coils for the heating element for his gold annealer, and in 1889, electric match. He made an electric match.
Like a sparker.
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
And,
wow.
And then the first X-ray machine used in Dayton, Ohio in 1900. You have a portion of it here, actual portion of it. You have over here, I can't imagine him doing this, but this is what you would call an electric oven. Had a light in it that told him how it was working. It contains a porcelain furnace, a rheostat. Now, a rheostat back then, that blows my mind, to regulate electricity, jars to hold porcelain, glasses to wear to protect the eyes, and a light bulb to indicate the amount of electric current. All in one fell swoop, he made that machine.
Right, and it's in this nice little box, which makes it almost portable. And by the way, a rheostat is what we now know today as a dimmer switch, where it goes
correct.
Up or down.
Correct. But in a way, that controls the current.
Yeah, yeah.
And the light told him whether it was working or not, you know, and so.
He was even smart enough to know that he might need to wear glasses to protect his eyes.
Yes, and who would have thought in that day, but they looked at this man as a true, true genius.
I bet, and I've not heard of him, Dr. Levitt Ellsworth Custer. I'm surprised I haven't heard of him.
Get his book.
Okay, it's called Dental Electricity by Levitt E. Custer, B.S., D.D.S., lecturer upon dental electricity in Ohio College of Dental Surgery, member of National Dental Association, member of Ohio State Dental Association, member of New York Institute of Stomatology, honorary member of Kansas State Dental Society, corresponding member of Illinois State Dental Society, member of Roentgen Society of the United States. And by the way, Conrad Roentgen invented X-rays, and so the Roentgen Society means that he understood X-rays and learned from the gentleman that developed the X-rays. And then it was published by VB Publishing House, Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, it wouldn't be published today. You'd have to be a collector's item.
Borrow this copy.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's an inside glass.
This is one of a kind, probably, yeah.
That we can't.
Things like he invented electric mirror to see better in the mouth.
Oh, my God, it has its own light.
Correct.
Mouth mirror has its own light bulb. It's about the size of the bulb that you would find in a tiny little pen light flashlight, but it has its own light. That we still could use that.
Why not? That's more modern than what they put in my mouth, you know. So.
Exactly.
Here he invented electromagnetic gold plugger, had the advantage over hand pluggers that the blows were less sensitive, and they could be varied if desired and were more rapid. It achieved a more solid gold foil.
So instead of the dentist having to pound, 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 this thing had its own little, vibrated it in almost.
Yeah, and it did it quickly.
Okay.
You know, it made sense to me. This whole thing points to a man who we owe a great deal to.
Okay, Dr. Levitt Ellsworth Custer. Since I've never heard of him, let's make sure everybody else knows his name.
That's a good point. We come to the last room in our museum here in Bainbridge, and we have just some of the instruments, the big old instruments. This is a Ritter Dental X-ray Unit, 1928 to 1933. You would not find anybody that even knew how it worked today. It's huge, but yet in the same essence, not too far removed from what trickles down to us today.
Well, I'll tell you what, when I started my practice, it was 1980, and I bought a building that had been used as a dental office 8 years prior. So the gentleman hadn't practiced for 8 years, but he was, at the time, we're talking 1980, he was probably 65, 70, and there was an X-ray machine there. It didn't look a lot different than this. It looked a lot like it, actually. And this is a mechanical timer. Mm-hmm. So you turn this to however many seconds or minutes you want, and it goes click, 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 and then when it's time's up, it just dings or just stops.
And it has some areas here that tells you the...
how many volts and how many milliamps.
Yeah. So it's pretty practical when you get right down to it to be invented and to be usable to the dentist.
Tell you about this is a cone, a pointed cone, and this is the way they originally designed. And in fact, the one over here, Dr. Levitt, his was pointy. Remember, it was glass. But what we found is when it comes out of this pointy configuration, it creates a lot of scatter radiation because the X-rays hit the inside of that and they go in opposite directions. So this one actually was easier to line things up because it's like an arrow. You know where you're pointing. But now when we teach dental students, and I taught X-ray to the dental students and dental hygiene students for 20 years at Ohio State University, we no longer have the pointy cone. We have just an open cone like this part here, like that.
Right.
Now that's harder to line up because you don't see where you're actually pointing, but then you don't get the scatter rays because all these beams come out in a straight line and they don't scatter till they hit something, which in the case of our patient would be the patient,
right,
and then the wall, and then the ceiling, and then eventually goes out into space.
That's interesting, too. We also have here in this room another machine, which is actually like...
is that like a sandblaster? What is that?
Like a sandblaster. It was used to... I'm trying to find the...
You going to turn it on?
No.
Oh, come on.
No. It was kind of used, yeah.
Oh, okay. It says SS White air dent. Go ahead.
Used as kind of an air jet with silicate material. And they found that it was too big, too cumbersome, and didn't work well.
Okay, but guess what? We have a current version of this, and it's called a micro etcher. It has the same tip here almost, okay, because this is just the little part that goes in the mouth. And in our case, it's air-driven, so it hooks up to our airlines, which all dentists have. And then there's a little reservoir of either pumice or baking soda, bicarbonate of soda, goes in there, and it squirts out the little tip, just like this would have. And what we use it for is before we seal a molar of a child, before we seal their adult teeth against decay, because it's almost like rust-proofing a car before it gets rusty.
Right.
So we still use it. It's called micro-etcher. I have a couple, three of them at the office. We just move them from room to room. So this was just before its time.
Same principle.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't believe these guys knew that much back in those days.
Yeah, when you think about it, that is amazing.
All right, so we're going to do Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. And before we do, we want you to listen to this.
This station will not be held liable for any contesting during Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko. Participation in the contest allows Dr. Kavitko to record and broadcast your name and call. One winner per household, prizes are non-transferable, cannot be substituted, and are subject to taxes and fees. This station cannot be responsible for the inability to enter the contest, whether due to equipment malfunction or telephone difficulties. All decisions of Dr. Kavitko concerning this contest or eligibility are final.
And now it's time for Dr. Kavitko's question of the day.
All right, and remember that the winner will receive free flowers from Vice Denver Florist, delivered to your place of business this Tuesday afternoon. Free flowers from Vice Denver Florist. All right, now, the question is, the dentist who wrote the Book of Dental Electricity in 1901 was A. General George Custer, B. Dr. Levitt Ellsworth Custer, or C. me, Dr. Kavitko. All right. The winner receives free flowers from Vice Denver Florist, delivered to place of business. The phone number to call is 459-9769. That's 459-9769. So go ahead and call now.
Hey, this is Olympic snowboarder Louis Vito, and make sure you stay tuned to Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kavitko.
Estás escuchando Dentally Speaking con Dr. Kavitko aquí en su estación favorita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Are your teeth worn down or have crack lines in them? Do you remember when your teeth were an asset? Porcelain veneers can make your teeth sparkle again, and all in two visits. Interested? Give us a call at
262-9588. Dr. Kavitko and
Associates. Dentally Speaking is his talk show. Dr. Kavitko, let's go!
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kavitko.
Are your teeth crooked, and while you would like them straight, there's no way you would wear braces for 2 years? What if I told you we could straighten your teeth in 6 months, between now and your next cleaning? Would you be interested? Call us,
262-9588. Dr. Kavitko and Associates.
Hi, this is Richard Simmons. Do you listen to Dentally Speaking? Well, you should. Dr. Kavitko's here, and he's going to help you with all of your problems. Are your teeth yellow? He can fix that. Are you missing a tooth? He can put a new one in. How is that?
That's very good. Thank you, Richard.
You know I can't smile without you. I can't smile without you.
Okay, and we're back, and we're doing Dr. Kavitko's question of the day. We're at the Dr. John Harris Dental History Museum, and we have Bob Richardson with us. And so, Bob, I always ask my guests if you'll pick a number from 1 to 4.
2.
We're going to pick number 2. All right, that'll be caller number 2.
All right, and that is Vivian. Vivian, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Do you have an answer?
Yes, B.
You have C? Wait a minute, let me read the question again. The dentist who wrote the Book of Electricity in 1901 was A. General George Custer, B. Dr. Levitt Ellsworth Custer, or C. me, Dr. Kavitko.
It was B.
That's right.
Ellsworth Custer.
I,
I think you gave my producer the right answer, so that's why I gave you another shot. I'm pretty sure you had it. Okay, well, hey, you got that right, because I wasn't born in 1901. Hopefully you know that. And, all right, so, hey, real quickly, what do you do for a living?
I work at the electric co-op.
Oh, okay. Okay, that's cool. Well, thank you so much for listening and for calling in. And stay on the line, though, because my producer has to get the information from you to make sure you get those free flowers from Vice Denver Florist, okay?
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take care now. All right, so let's go back to the rest of our interview with Dr. Bob Richardson at the Dr. John Harris Dental Museum in Bainbridge, Ohio.
Now, we go to the last, really, display case here. And what you have here are the different items that the dentist used, from pulling teeth to different things, things that he could put his hands on. At one time, I'm told, and I can't, these are crude extractors called turnkeys. We had at one time, I'm told, the actual turnkey that Dr. Wampler used to pull a tooth from Abraham Lincoln.
Wow.
We no longer have that. Some of the material we had here was sold to promote scholarships for dental students.
Oh, so they thought they were doing a good thing, but in the hindsight...
We had a display here of Japanese teeth that covered this entire wall, which was extremely valuable. It was where we found it. I have no idea.
Wow.
But it was donated with the idea, however, that the museum foundation could do with it, that it wasn't, they did not have to keep it.
Okay.
So eventually it got sold, and for about, I heard, about $60,000, but that went into scholarship funds for promising dental students.
Help create another dentist. So it's called Turnkey for Tooth Removal. I've never seen this, and I've been extracting teeth for 34 years, and to be honest, I can't even tell where you would put that on the tooth to get the tooth out. I don't even know which...
I would not know either. Because
I could guess. I mean, see that little hook?
Yep.
That little hook that comes up like that? I'm guessing they would put it in between the two roots, right up in the furcation.
Twist that tooth.
And twist. The problem I see, and none of our current instruments are like this is like a T-shape. So the handle is like the handle on the top of a cane, for example, right? And then, or maybe it goes around the from front to back, it's possible. But it is possible to put too much pressure and actually break the bone, not just pull the tooth out of the bone.
That would make sense.
So I'm thinking that's why we've changed the shape of the handle, is give us enough leverage, but not too much leverage.
Well, I would not want this in my mouth, I'll tell you. And I wouldn't want a dentist trying to pull my any of my teeth with this. But it does show us some of the crude attempts, but evidently successful instruments, is what we would call them, that the dentist had to use in those days. They had to use what they had at hand.
I'll tell you what, I have a this elevator to loosen teeth to be removed. I have one that looks just like that, but my handle's chrome. So they really haven't. We really haven't come that far. We just chrome-plated them.
That's correct.
I guess it's...
And what you see as we've traveled through the museum, we have traveled through discoveries years and years, but some of the principles are still the same.
Oh, definitely, definitely, yeah. The handpieces that we use, which is what we call our drills, the little typodonts, the things that we would mount teeth on to make dentures, we're seeing down here, oh, these here are just lip retractors. We still use those. In fact, I can still buy them just like that. We have clear so they don't show up in the photo, but this here looks like a magnifier so you could view x-rays.
Correct.
Before we went digital, and honestly, I could have used that several years. I don't know where that was, but I could have used one.
Exactly.
You hold up the light, you know, and it's real tiny, and you're pointing it out to the patient, and you say, "Don't you see the cavity?" And they're nodding their head and smiling, but they don't see it.
No, they don't. Before us now is some of the, what I would call proof of the Bainbridge Dr. John Harris Museum. The work that Press did, they put this out to help the practice of dentistry know the background, know the history of dentistry in the United States. This was put out, I think, in 1900.
It says, that actually says 1970.
And if you'll look here, it says Bainbridge.
1827.
Cradle of dental education. But what Kress was trying to prove is all these pioneers out here, even to Hawaii and places, who started in those areas, even in the buggy days in the West, the house to house and the traveling around dentists and physicians. And so they did this in association with the United States
American Dental Association.
So this is a valuable piece of information for dentists to look back into history.
Cool. So we, it's too small. We'll take a picture of it, but we won't be able to read it. You'll actually have to come and visit the dental museum and see for yourself. So in the, this room has the listening center as well. So that'll explain everything that you've explained, only not as thoroughly, I'm sure. And I'm looking at these instruments. They're really cool. We'll get as many photos as we can, but it's very neat. I did not realize that Ohio was so important. Now, in this other room, which I don't think is part of the tour.
It kind of is, but it may not. This is Dr. Mills' dentist room. Dr. Mills and his, I think, brother were the ones that made it possible for this building to be reacquired, for it to be turned back into the dental history and a museum.
Yeah, you mentioned on a couple of previous shows ago that the brothers.
And that was in about 1938, and in 1940, it was open to the public again as a museum.
Okay. And so I see Dr. Mills has a diploma up there from the University of Michigan, Doctor of Dental Surgery. I guess we won't hold that against him since he did so many good things.
Well, we could, but we won't. If you're in Columbus, Ohio State, you might hold that against him, but we don't.
Okay. Cool. So now let's see. I'm just curious if they have a number on this. Can we make that out? Because
can you get to it?
It says number 81, unless that's a 3-6. Let's see. Can you see it? It's very faded. I don't want to step on this old stool, but it's also high up on the wall. Looks like 816. That would mean that he was the 816th dentist to be licensed by the Board of Dental Examiners in Ohio, and that was in 1892. And
1892.
Right. And I'll tell you what my license number is and that was from 1980. They start with a 30, and I don't know if that means it's like 30,000 in some, and then there's four digits after that. So, yeah, no, that's what it looks like. So that's a long, long time ago. That's pretty cool. And then these are his library.
A lot of his library he donated to the museum.
Okay. It'd be really cool to look at some of these old books and see the instructions, the how to do a root canal, how to take out a tooth.
I've come in here and just gotten some of the old books down and just kind of looked through them, you know, not understanding a lot of it, but I...
So then you know how to use those dental extractors over there.
I don't. I really don't. And you wouldn't want me working on you.
Well, I could do it, but because I can numb you and you wouldn't feel it.
That's true.
All right. Well, Bob, this has been wonderful. I really appreciate your time and talk about, I owe everything in my practice to these people that came before me and all of their inventions and people. You know, it's funny because we talk a lot. People will say they don't like the feeling of the injection. You know, they don't like that getting that shot. Well, that was developed in, I think it was 1840 or 1846. And before that, before local anesthetic, there was just nothing but pain and suffering, you know. So we think we're kind of spoiled when we complain about, I don't like getting the needle. We should be thankful that that's all we have is that little prick of the needle, right?
Well, exactly. And almost everything we enjoy today comes from pioneers who did something to make it easier. The physicians, heart surgery. But everybody in America needs to take care of their teeth.
They do.
And they don't realize it.
I know.
They can. You meet somebody, I shouldn't say this, but you meet somebody in the store, grocery shopping, and you can tell they've never taken care of their teeth.
I know.
But it affects more than their mouth. It affects their body, their health.
Right.
And so dental practice or dental history is a gigantic thing in the background of the United States.
Right. It's so important, and people need to realize that those that don't, I think they're coming around, starting to, but there's still whole family units that they just don't think teeth are important. They just think they're going to rot out and get their good set, which are their dentures, and they don't realize it until it's too late. Dentures are not a great replacement for teeth. They're not a bad replacement for bald gums, but they're not a great replacement for teeth.
Stay tuned for more of Dentally Speaking with Dr. Kvitko after these messages.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Have you always wanted a smile makeover but didn't know where to go? Here at Dr. Kvitko & Associates, we have thousands of happy patients. Stop in and see our before and after pictures. Call us at
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
State ascoltando Dentally Speaking con il dottor Kvitko, qui sulla vostra radio preferita.
Brighten your life with a smile that shows the professional touch of Dr. Kvitko.
Are you afraid of being seen without your teeth? Are you tired of taking your teeth out every night? Let us show you how implants and fixed bridges can give you a smile that never comes out. Interested? Call us,
262-9588. Dr. Kvitko & Associates.
Hi, I'm Dominique Reigert. Like what you hear? Why not use the Dentally Speaking Show to promote your product or service by becoming a sponsor? Call 614-262-9588 to learn how. That's 614-262-9588. Call now or send an email to drkavitko@aol.com.
I'm Grandpa, and I go to Dr. Kavitko, and I still have all my teeth. Real ones. Where's my glasses?
I'm gonna miss that smile. I'm gonna miss you, my friend. Even though it hurts the way it ended up, I do it all again.
If you're just joining us, we are talking with Bob Richardson of the Dr. John Harris Dental History Museum in Bainbridge, Ohio.
You have to owe something to Dr. John Harris, who came to Bainbridge and had the foresight. One of the things that interests me about him, I wish we had some of his history that was preserved, and we don't. But some of his family and one of his close friends, lifetime friends, said that he was a guy that was a great physician and a great dentist and a great teacher. But Dr. John Harris didn't have the stick-to-itiveness to stay here in Bainbridge and pursue what he started. So he traveled around. He wouldn't stick to stuff. Great guy, great man, was probably, in my mind, a dreamer who put in operation some of his dreams. Somebody else had to come along. And that was people that he knew talked about him. They gave him credit for starting this, gave him credit for being actually the stone plaque in the hallway from North Carolina, calls him the father of dental history, the father of dentistry.
Father of dentistry.
Yeah. So he holds a great place, no matter, he was not here but 3 or 4 years, and then went to Kentucky, trying to do the same thing, though. So I'll give him credit there, and then tried to do the same thing in North Carolina, where he got sick and died. So a lot of the things that the dentists across the United States are doing got started right here in this building.
Yeah, that's really neat. That's really neat. I'll have to walk through one more time just to see. Now, we're looking at this library, Dr. Mills' library, and it looks like there is a book of dental electricity. I wonder, is this Custer's book of dental electricity? You have it.
Yes,
looks
it
like
is.
You have it here. Can I hand it to you?
I'll have
to touch it. Take a look.
That this would be the book that we saw
in the glass container.
Yes, and he's the one that evidently stumbled on by his genius onto this. Was copyrighted in 1901, and all during his then invention period of time, maybe 100 inventions. Then he took up aeronautics, which I thought was interesting, and took several balloon rides, and then owned his own balloon that we called Hoosiers, which comes from another state. But I think this man was a genius, and probably we owe a great, great deal to him.
Yeah, that's very cool. And this looks like in pristine condition. This looks like one you could check out of the library.
Well, I think this probably came directly from his library. It was probably numbered. Mm. And that was, I think, in the other places, one that's been passed around. It's not as in good a shape as that one.
Yeah, that's funny. We got the one in the best shape is here, just ready for us to grab, and the one in the glass.
That's amazing.
You didn't know you had it, huh?
No, I didn't. I didn't know that, no.
Very good. Grant's Atlas of Anatomy, I actually had one of those in my dental training. Oral pathology, had one of those. Periodontology, just a lot of neat stuff. Of course, we have new versions of all of this, and we've learned new things. There's endodontics, which is root canals. Dental supplies by M.D. Justly and Sons. Yeah, lots of stuff. And even the people that don't necessarily like going to the dentist should be thankful for all of this work that was done prior, because it really does make it palatable. No, no pun intended. You know.
No, I got you. In this room also, we have Dr. Chapin Harris was a brother to John.
Oh, okay.
And we unfortunately do not have a picture of Dr. John Harris. But
nobody knows what he looks like?
No.
Oh, wow.
Well, I would think we look at his brother and get some idea, but that's about all we could do. I have not checked with Baltimore, and it'd be interesting to go to Baltimore to their museum and see if they have anything. And my understanding is they don't have any personal things.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But somebody somewhere should have preserved something, because this obviously was an important spot in the history of dentistry.
Yeah, Very much so. Very cool. And it's worth the trip. And it's beautiful. It's a beautiful drive. It doesn't take very long. There's a couple ice cream stands along the way, which we're going to check out on the way back.
That's not good for your teeth. You know that, don't you?
But as long as you brush afterwards, it's okay.
I would like to tell the folks who are listening that Bainbridge is in a valley, probably one of the prettiest valleys in the United States. Might have been why Dr. John Harris stopped here, or at least one of the reasons. It continues to be a nice valley, and it's an interesting drive if they want to come to Bainbridge and stop at the museum. And all they have to do is just browse through it, take their time. They can be here all afternoon. We'll take care of them and send them on their way.
Okay, sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Bob. I really, really appreciate you doing this for us and my listeners. And hopefully this is going to maybe get some people interested in stopping down and seeing it firsthand.
We appreciate you coming down.
And that's our show for today. Join me next week for a Teeth Across America episode from Sevierville, Tennessee, a town near Dollywood. It's going to be a great show, so don't miss it. See you then.
This is Carly Red from Love & Hip Hop Atlanta, the hit show on VH1, urging you to tune in next week for another exciting episode of Dentally Speaking with my dentist, Dr. Kavitko.
If you're interested in learning more about this and other dental health topics, go to dentallyspeaking.com to access full episodes of Dr. Kavitko's show.
If you would like to book Dr. Kavitko to speak at your next event, please call 614-262-9588. That's 614-262-9588. Or send an email to drkavitko@dentallyspeaking.com. That's drkvitko@dentallyspeaking.com.